Yeah, I'm Bubba, and I'm an alcoholic, and and I'm really, really happy to be here. I can't see anybody, but don't worry about it. I know a lot of people in the crowd, and I'm so happy to be here. And I saw Fielder over here playing and he's what it's all about. I mean, for me, he's what it's about. He, you know, a young guy his age, and he's got it together. And he came in here broken and troubled, and look at him now. And that's what one of the things that I get so much joy out of doing is I come over here and I do meditations. The 11th step that we've got is prayer and meditations. And so with the new people that are up here, it's my kind of privilege to get to work with them. And there's nothing that fulfills me more than to see somebody like Fielder. And he's just a great example. I mean, hey, how about a hand for my buddy over there? My story's kind of a long one. And by the way, you know, for Frank, I, you know, like, go home and say a prayer for him and for Scott. I do that every day. I close my eyes and I'll get a picture of Frank. And that's just sort of my telepathic way of sending him my love and you know, try to comfort him when things are going bad for him or for Scott. When I was a pretty good drinker and drugger and all that stuff. I did that for about 60 years, 50 years, and man, did I have a good time. And I had a lot of good times right out here with the guy. He's the guilty party RB that led me down the crooked path. But there's a I'm really lucky. My son came up here and has been a huge part of my story. Poor Robbie. I mean, he's the nicest, best kid in the world, and you should have grown up. Poor Robbie growing up with me. I mean, I had my cars flying over, you know, dividers, and I take him, I get drunk, go up flying around, and I put him in the back seat, and the poor little guy, hey, Dad, you know, and who drunk drives airplanes with their son? Bubba would do that. You know, my story sort of like begins, I think I'm supposed to like tell you a little bit about it, and I was telling my granddaughter Kelly, who also showed up, about a trip I went down to Panama. RB and I and Robbie and a lot of us, my dad had a big sailboat, and we'd sail around the world, and it was so much fun, so awesome, and such a great way of our family, you know, unity. And we had a blast sailing around there, and we usually took all RB so that he'd drink all the scotch before my father got a chance to start it. And anyway, I was telling her, she said, heard all these stories. My stories are outrageous, and they don't belong in church. But like I'd gone down to Panama, and I was going to help my dad bring the boat through the Panama Canal and back out the other way. And I was arrested when I left the airplane for reasons that you don't need to know. And then they had me kind of like in a holding cell, and I thought, well, yeah, it's the end of my life. I'm going to live here in Panama for a while, you know, and for a long time. That's not where you want to go. And so Dad says, got me out. And so he said, but you know what? you're going to go on a dry boat, you know, no booze on there, and you're going to go to Tahiti from Panama. I said, Tahiti to Panama on a dry boat? You're nuts. He went nuts. We left, and when we took off, and we left from Panama, and we're sailing out to the ocean, and I'm like brokenhearted, and I've lost everything, and how could my father do this to me? And but you know, on the way out from Panama, there was this island called Canador Island, where the deposed Shah of Iran lived, along with a whole bunch of rich, nuts, wacko people. This thing was only like maybe 10, 15 miles away from Panama. So we're sailing, and we decide, well, we're going to go close to it. So I gathered all my wallet and everything. My dad even gave me a credit card to fly home from when we got to Tahiti to home, you know, a reward for being clean for so long. Well, I got to Canador Island. I got that credit card. I got my wallet. I got everything, and I stuck it in a trash bag. And when we got up close to shore, I said, see you guys, and I jumped over, and I had my trash bag, and I went into Canador Island, where these people were every bit my equal. One guy he had a chicken head, and he put it, every day he got a new chicken head, and he'd put the chicken head down over his cane and walk around with this whacked out chicken. And all they did was, drink and everything. And then I pretty much ran out of money and used Dad's credit card to fly home. The guys never made it to Tahiti. They didn't have enough guys on there. And I did that kind of stuff. I jumped ship really easily. I didn't, I didn't fit into the regular mold. And I would do anything and everything. And it's not stuff that I'm really proud of in it. And the stories are funny, you know. I mean, like, one morning my dad says, hey, Bubba, where's the boat? We lived on the waterfront, and the boat was right out in front on the dock. He said, where's the boat? I said, I don't know, Dad. I mean, I brought it in last night. It's got to be out there. I didn't feel well either, so, you know, I said, you know, could you just go find it alone? And he says, no, get up. So I get up. I go out. We walk down the dock, and I don't see the boat. So Dad's saying, where's the boat? Walk down further, and all there are is a couple of antennas sticking up out of the water where I had sunk the boat. The boat was at the bottom of the ocean, and all there was the antennas. And I do this kind of stuff to my dad, but it got worse. And as any of you guys know, it really got worse. And I was not afraid to do anything. I like to do anything that was, you know, lecherous and bad. I like to hang out in Skid Row. Eventually this stuff gets you down when you're a guy like me. And I was never a bad guy. I mean, I loved my son so much. You can't imagine. But I didn't know how to live my life and show him that, you know, that love. I mean, I think that I did. I'd want him to go with me all the time, or my daughter. But I didn't know I was a drunk and a drinker. And I didn't know the solutions to these problems. And I had no way. I always knew, hey, it's up to me. I can get myself out of this pickle. And so, because, you know, it is all about me, isn't it? And so, I started having the problems that guys like me have. You end up going to the nut house, or you go to jail, or you go into rehabs and in new institutions, and you're traveling with people that I don't even speak the same language as them, but it's a way of life that I don't know how to get out of. And it ended up that I was with my family, and we'd gone to New York, and I was going to try to make up some of the bad things that I'd done to them. And we were in New York City, and I was married now to my new little bride, Judy, and we decided when we flew home, I'd taken all kinds of stuff, and I didn't even know if I'd make it on the way home. We got to Mission Hospital, and Judy and my daughter sat with me while I was having these problems. And in the hospital, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to survive, you know. Well, what happened is, in that hospital, between there and detox, I made a decision that I'm powerless. I don't know what to do. I love my kids. I love my mom and dad. They were so awesome. They wanted to, you know, do anything and everything they could so that I could have a better life. I mean, you know, get me all set up. I can go to college. And then I went to Orange Coast College. That took me about 6 years. It's a 2-year college. And then I probably graduated from Long Beach State when I was about 40. But, but I was a college graduate, you know. And anyway, but times were getting harder and harder and more difficult and more difficult. And I never felt well. And so, like, I was coming back to from New York. And my tongue was yellow. My face was yellow. I couldn't walk. My muscles had atrophied. I had to have a wheelchair. I was like, my heart, I had cardiomyopathy. They put me on a heart transplant list. I mean, you know, I'm the dregs. And I know that I'm the dregs now. And I've got my kids when I get home, and they're looking down. I can't even get out from the downstairs, and they're saying, Dad, what, you know, it's not that I don't love them. It's that I'm stuck in this. The only solution I've ever had for problems, see, my problem isn't drinking. My problem isn't drugging. My problem's life. And I had the good fortune to hit a bottom that was so low, that hurt so bad, that none of my organs are working anymore. I'm barely a human being, and that's the way I'm thinking about myself. I said, God, you know, I am powerless. How powerful am I when I've got to drag myself down to the hospital toilet? Legs won't even carry me. And so I asked God to help me, that whoever you are and whatever you are. And I had some experience with my church, but I didn't really understand it. I was always a Christian. I always did, you know, I was an usher. I did the things that looked right, but I wasn't right because I didn't get it. I didn't know what it was all about. So in this surrender that I made to God was unconditional, that I needed to stay alive or die just the way I was, you know, yellow. And I didn't want to die yellow, so I gave up to God, and I went over and went to this detox place. And, I mean, I was just shaking and baking and yellow and crawling and despicable, horrible me. But my kids came to see me. My wife came to see me, and a new life for me had begun. And I was so excited to be alive with the prospect of not being so addicted. I had to find a solution. And I'd found out through, I'll tell you, AA is so awesome, because we've all gone through this period where we've had these lows that have made us realize, I'm not so powerful. I'm not such a big shot. I don't run anything. I'm powerless. You know what? I mean, without God, I'm absolutely insignificant. Without the God of my understanding, I'm absolutely insignificant. This morning I went out and I got my pair it out, and he says, "Hey, Bubba, how you doing?" And I, "Hey, Simon." And we go out, and Simon pretends like he flies, and I look at the hillside, and it's covered with wildflowers. And I look at the ocean, and the waves come in like they've been coming in for 1,000 years. And I see Catalina out there, and I say, "Oh, my God, I would have missed all this." This, you see, to me, is a very tangible way to see God. To see, you know, I go out there, I go for a walk, and Judy and I go a lot. I go for a walk, and I see those flowers, and I see the dolphin out there, the pelicans flying over, and I think, and I lose me. I'm absolutely insignificant in this picture. And I would have missed every single bit of this if I had died up here at Mission Hospital. And I don't make light of my Christianity at all. By way of dealing with guys that are, you know, like that are alcoholics, is to because you can, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you worship the God of, you know, whatever, whoever your God is. And that really helped me because it made me, it gave me a way to see in a very tangible way what an awesome, wonderful God we have. And then, and I believe, you know, I believe in the things that I learned when I was a kid, you know, about my Christianity. I believe that Jesus died on that cross and gave it up, and I'm free. I'm free, you know? I'm free. I don't have to feel guilty because I hurt my boy. I don't have to feel guilty because, you know, because Jesus died for me on that cross. I'm a Christian. I mean, you know, I don't know the stories too well. I know there was the prodigal son story where, you know, the one was kind of on the wild side. We'll call him Bubba. And and then there was the one that stayed behind with his dad and cleaned up the steer manure. They'll call him RB. And RB stayed around, and he worked for years and years and years, and the prodigal son went out there, and he's just carrying on until he ran out of everything, and in shame he finally went home, and naturally the father, like, he sees his son, and son wanted, he's just going to come back and wanted to work in the stables. He just needed something. Father Simon just, you know, threw open his arms and said, "Hey, welcome home. You know, you, this is your house, and I love you." And there's RB still shoveling the, what, you know, the stuff out there. But they were celebrating the return of Bubba. And what it, the significance of the story is, of course, your father's always going to take you back. And what it was for me is the same thing. My father took me back. And every single day, whether what goes on in my life, whether, you know, Judy's giving me a tough day or whatever. Hey, you know, it's not worth it. I don't want to feel bad, so I'm going to make up with Judy just as quick as I can. Whether she's wrong or right, she's always right. Doesn't matter. Is I want to be a happy guy. And it's the way I live life. I don't have a resentment, because resentments hurt me. They're like little bombs that are, you know, sitting in there ready to go off. I don't have bad feelings toward people. I mean, you can cut me off in the freeway, and I just say, "Hey, you know, it's okay." And I've learned this. All these things is so wonderful to live this life where I have peace and serenity and real friends and stuff that matters. It's for real, you know? My life, I'm no close. I despise that guy that I was. I don't despise my heart, because my heart was always with these guys. But I despise my behavior. I didn't have a solution. and that was it, you know. The solution is, I've got anxiety, I've got fear, I've got all these things. Life isn't easy, you guys know that. Life's painful. And the quickest solution, I'll have a little drink. Well, you know what? The real solution is I walk lockstep with God all the time. I go down to that trail. I walk down that trail, and I get so lost in the glory and the beauty and the relationships, the friendships. I make fun of RB, but I love him to death. And Mike, who stayed at the same hotels I stayed at, is RB's brother. I love the people. I love Dave Brisbane, who has taught me so much presided over, you know, some tragic things that we've had go on in our family. For me, the treat of all treats is to come over here and sit with a bunch of newcomers and try to somehow help them find that the solution is walking with God, to learning, you know, who your higher power is. I'm no longer that guy. I could no more do some of the, you know, horrendous things. I could never do that. I don't like that guy. I like the guy that's a good dad. I want to be there for him. I like the guy that's a good grandpa. I want to be there for her. I'm a guy that wants to be a good guy for you guys. I want to be a guy that watches Fielder, you know, recover from a life of hopelessness to a life of productivity up here playing with the band. You know? I mean, it's just to see this world evolve from the eyes of somebody that's come from so low, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, I love all of you guys. I love the God that saved me. I mean, saved me. Judy is so lucky. She's got no idea what she was getting into. And then somehow or another, you know, on a trip to New York, God came along and said, you had enough. And I really, my deal is that, you know, God's available. We step into God. It's like, hey, God, you know, where are you? I need a new Cadillac. God, I don't think goes around and micromanages things. This could be, you know, maybe my own view, but I think I see God everywhere. I close my eyes, I see my mom and my father, and I love them to death. I still do. But if I'm up in the mountains, or I'm by the river, or out in the desert, or watching the waves roll in like I do, that's God for me. I'm there. I'm home. My point, I think, is to step into God. Give yourself to this, aha, God, wow, look at that bird up there. And then say, thanks, God. All right, watch RB down there with his little grandkids and his dog. I say, aha, I'm so grateful to have him down there. I mean, I don't have to be talking to him. I say, aha, I got Lenny here. Lenny at the effect. Wow, how awesome. And I get to be taught by Dave all the time and Marion. So, you know, for my short time up here, and I know it's not the, you know, the usual Christian message, but it's a message of total recovery and for me. I'm a good guy now. I can say that. It's not even, I'm not out of bounds, out of line by saying that. I'm a good guy. I'll take care of him to the, you know, forever. My son, my granddaughter, and my little wife Judy, and don't ever forget her. So with that, I'll let you go. I love the effect. You know, when we started this, it was just three guys. These guys were working on the bridge. I missed Jeff to death. Jeff Jones was very close. We used to do panels and do stuff. But this place has got a history, and give it a chance. Give Dave a chance. Give Marion a chance. And give God a chance. Give Jesus a chance. And let's party on.